Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
CBS News Special Report. Here's correspondent Steve Dorsey.
After two mass shootings over the weekend, one in El Paso, Texas, the other in Dayton, Ohio, President Trump is due to deliver remarks from the White House diplomatic room. Let's go live right now to White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy. Stephen.
And Steve, this is the kind of moment when in our recent history, Americans have turned to their highest elected official for moral clarity, for leadership in collective mourning, and for a vision for the future. So far, the president has said that hate has no place in our country. He's called for mass shootings to end. Before departing New Jersey yesterday, he has said his administration has done more than most to curb gun violence. There's been the ban on bump stocks that his administration imposed. The Fix NICS bill he signed last year that aims to boost information in the background check system. And on Twitter today, he urged bipartisan support for what he called strong background checks, perhaps, he said, in a bill that would also include immigration reform. But Democrats are more than a bit skeptical. They note he signaled he might be open to a ban on semi-automatic rifles after the Parkland shooting, only to step away from that. And remember, Steve, his White House has issued a veto threat of the very background check bill that the House already passed this year that is awaiting action in the Senate. So that's the picture this morning from the White House as we await the president's remarks.
And again, we expect the president to speak any moment now. His remarks have just been placed on the podium in the diplomatic room. Let's also check in right now with correspondent Steve Futterman. He is live in El Paso. Steve, can you describe what's happening there this morning?
Well, people are going back to work. Yesterday was a very difficult day. The day after the shooting, we had a vigil here last night, very emotional vigil. Thousands of people showing up, members of the clergy, all different faiths. And the town has sort of tried to come together. The mayor has said it's going to be very, very difficult. They right now have 20 people to bury right now. The suspect, a 21-year-old suspect, is in custody. He is being charged with capital murder here, which does carry the death penalty. No federal charges here, but we've been told that federal authorities are looking into charges which include hate crimes, domestic terrorism, and firearms violations. Those firearms violations could carry a federal death penalty as well.
In Dayton, Ohio, we've had correspondent Jim Krasula covering that, where 10 people, including the suspected gunman, 24-year-old Connor Betts, are dead following that attack. Correspondent Janet Shamlian and Jim Krasula have more on the victims of that attack. Let's start with the attack in El Paso, however.
15-year-old Javier Amir Rodriguez played soccer and would have gone back to school in a few weeks. Multiple Mexican nationals were killed. So was 86-year-old Angie Englesby, who spoke to her son on the phone just minutes before the shooting.
I'm Jim Krasula in Dayton, Ohio. There's a growing memorial, flowers, cards, photos, and balloons on the street where nine people were shot and killed, including Donna Johnson's 25-year-old nephew, Thomas McNichols.
He didn't mean no one, no harm at all. He was just a sweet kid who loved his family.
Bullet holes are visible in the wooden door and front window of a bar called Ned Pepper's. Police shot and killed the gunman as he tried to get inside.
Also this morning, there is new scrutiny of the digital platforms many of these shooters have turned to spread hate. Here's CBS's Jeff Pegues.
Many recent shootings share a troubling connection. The accused killers have left a blueprint for their alleged actions on social media. Like the attack in a Pittsburgh synagogue last year in which 11 people were killed. And the massacre in Christchurch, New Zealand, in which 51 were killed. Nate Snyder is a former counterterrorism official in the Department of Homeland Security.
You have would-be recruiters and provokers who are using these platforms to get to people on a personal level.
Back here live in Washington, again, we're waiting for President Trump to make his remarks for the first time publicly this morning to reporters and cameras following those two deadly attacks, those mass shootings in El Paso and Dayton. He'll be speaking from the White House diplomatic room. Let's return to the White House with correspondent Stephen Portnoy. Stephen, there's indications the president may travel to Texas and Ohio later this week.
No official word from the White House. We'll hear what the president has to say about that possibility in just a short while, I imagine. But the FAA has posted that VIPs will be in the area of El Paso and Dayton, Ohio on Wednesday. So we'll see if the president's plans involve trips to those two cities. The president, obviously, Americans will look to him this morning for, as I mentioned, that moral clarity to see what it is he has to say about these things. He has so far uttered the phrase, hate has no place in our country. A lot of people will be looking to the words the president uses in his prepared remarks this morning. We see a binder on the podium. We know that he'll be reading from a teleprompter to see whether he and how he characterizes the alleged shooter, particularly in El Paso. There's been a lot of discussion in this country over the last several days as to whether it should be called an act of white terrorism or some kind of white nationalist terrorism. The aides to the president have pushed back on the idea that his rhetoric has somehow fueled what happened in El Paso. The alleged shooter there is said to have written some kind of document. Investigators are looking into this document that was posted just before the shooting, in which the phrase invasion is used. And the president has repeatedly used that word, invasion, to describe illegal immigration in the country.
Stephen, you said that the president is often a figure that Americans go to for clarity on events like this. But so far, in the last few weeks at least, there has not been a clear message on where the president stands on gun control.
But and we're about to hear from the president, who's accompanied by Vice President Pence. It's live coverage from CBS News.
Good morning. My fellow Americans, this morning, our nation is overcome with shock, horror, and sorrow. This weekend, more than 80 people were killed or wounded in two evil attacks. One Saturday morning in El Paso, Texas, a wicked man went to a Walmart store where families were shopping with their loved ones. He shot and murdered 20 people and injured 26 others, including precious little children. Then, in the early hours of Sunday morning, Dayton, Ohio, another twisted monster opened fire on a crowded downtown street. He murdered 9 people, including his own sister, and injured 27 others. The First Lady and I join all Americans in praying and grieving for the victims, their families, and the survivors. We will stand by their side forever. We will never forget. These barbaric slaughters are an assault upon our communities, an attack upon our nation, and a crime against all of humanity. We are outraged and sickened by this monstrous evil, the cruelty, the hatred, the malice, the bloodshed, and the terror. Our hearts are shattered for every family whose parents, children, husbands, and wives were ripped from their arms and their lives. America weeps for the fallen. We are a loving nation, and our children are entitled to grow up in a just, peaceful, and loving society. Together, we lock arms to shoulder the grief. We ask God in heaven to ease the anguish of those who suffer, and we vow to act with urgent resolve. I want to thank the many law enforcement personnel who responded to these atrocities with the extraordinary grace and courage of American heroes. I have spoken with Texas Governor Greg Abbott and Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, as well as Mayor DeMargo of El Paso, Texas, and Mayor Nan Whaley of Dayton, Ohio, to express our profound sadness and unfailing support. Today, we also send the condolences of our nation to President Obrador of Mexico and all the people of Mexico for the loss of their citizens in the El Paso shooting. Terrible, terrible thing. I have also been in close contact with Attorney General Barr and FBI Director Wray. Federal authorities are on the ground, and I have directed them to provide any and all assistance required, whatever is needed. The shooter in El Paso posted a manifesto online consumed by racist hate. In one voice, our nation must condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy. These sinister ideologies must be defeated. Hate has no place in America. Hatred warps the mind, ravages the heart, and devours the soul. We have asked the FBI to identify all further resources they need to investigate and disrupt hate crimes and domestic terrorism, whatever they need. We must recognize that the Internet has provided a dangerous avenue to radicalize, disturb minds, and perform demented acts. We must shine light on the dark recesses of the Internet and stop mass murders before they start. The Internet, likewise, is used for human trafficking, illegal drug distribution, and so many other heinous crimes. The perils of the Internet and social media cannot be ignored, and they will not be ignored. In the two decades since Columbine, our nation has watched with rising horror and dread as one mass shooting has followed another, over and over again, decade after decade. We cannot allow ourselves to feel powerless. We can and will stop this evil contagion. In that task, we must honor the sacred memory of those we have lost by acting as one people. Open wounds cannot heal if we are divided. We must seek real bipartisan solutions. We have to do that in a bipartisan manner that will truly make America safer and better for all. First, we must do a better job of identifying and acting on early warning signs. I am directing the Department of Justice to work in partnership with local, state, and federal agencies, as well as social media companies, to develop tools that can detect mass shooters before they strike. As an example, the monster in the Parkland High School in Florida had many red flags against him, and yet nobody took decisive action. Nobody did anything. Why not? Second, we must stop the glorification of violence in our society. This includes the gruesome and grisly video games that are now commonplace. It is too easy today for troubled youth to surround themselves with a culture that celebrates violence. We must stop or substantially reduce this, and it has to begin immediately. Cultural change is hard, but each of us can choose to build a culture that celebrates the inherent worth and dignity of every human life. That's what we have to do. Third, we must reform our mental health laws to better identify mentally disturbed individuals who may commit acts of violence and make sure those people not only get treatment, but when necessary, involuntary confinement. Mental illness and hatred pulls the trigger, not the gun. Fourth, we must make sure that those judged to pose a grave risk to public safety do not have access to firearms, and that if they do, those firearms can be taken through rapid due process. That is why I have called for red flag laws, also known as extreme risk protection orders. Today, I'm also directing the Department of Justice to propose legislation ensuring that those who commit hate crimes and mass murders face the death penalty, and that this capital punishment be delivered quickly, decisively, and without years of needless delay. These are just a few of the areas of cooperation that we can pursue. I am open and ready to listen and discuss all ideas that will actually work and make a very big difference. Republicans and Democrats have proven that we can join together in a bipartisan fashion to address this plague. Last year, we enacted the Stop School Violence and Fix NICS Acts into law, providing grants to improve school safety and strengthening critical background checks for firearm purchases. At my direction, the Department of Justice banned bump stocks. Last year, we prosecuted a record number of firearms offenses. But there is so much more that we have to do. Now is the time to set destructive partisanship aside, so destructive, and find the courage to answer hatred with unity, devotion, and love. Our future is in our control. America will rise to the challenge. We will always have, and we always will, win. The choice is ours, and ours alone. It is not up to mentally ill monsters. It is up to us. If we are able to pass great legislation after all of these years, we will ensure that those who were attacked will not have died in vain. May God bless the memory of those who perished in Toledo. May God protect them. May God protect all of those from Texas to Ohio. May God bless the victims and their families. May God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You've been listening to President Trump, who's now walking away from the podium in the White House diplomatic room, not answering questions from reporters there after speaking out about the two attacks in El Paso and Dayton, condemning them. Let's return now to the White House and correspondent Stephen Portnoy. Stephen, two things stuck out for me, and I'd like to get your reaction to that. His call on the country to condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy, because we haven't heard the president speak out much about white supremacy, where he does enjoy, by most accounts, significant support. And he said this line, mental illness and hatred pull the trigger, not the gun. What do you make of especially those two lines?
Well, the news from this speech is the president's call for red flag laws, which he said would essentially detect mass shooters before they strike, to identify mentally disturbed individuals. He also called for light to be shown on the dark recesses of the internet. He spoke about the perils of the internet. He spoke of gruesome and grisly video games playing a role in all this. He spoke of an evil contagion that he says the country can and will stop. And look at the words he used in this remarks, talking about the shooters. Wicked, twisted monster, barbaric slaughters, monstrous evil, atrocities. And as you note, Steve, he did condemn racism and white supremacy. He did not specifically refer to the bill that has already passed the House that would expand background checks for gun purchases to include private transactions between individuals. That passed the House earlier this year with 8 Republicans on board. But this White House issued a veto threat, and that, we're told, remains the White House position on that.
And that might be something that might be most alarming to folks who have been calling for gun control reform and just heard the president speak. It's things that he didn't say, which could likely draw more criticism. He did direct the Department of Justice to fast track the death penalty for mass shooters. But as you mentioned, he didn't express any indication he'll have a full-throated endorsement or support of this universal background check legislation making its way through Congress and appears to have been stalled in the Senate, where just this morning on Twitter, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer called on President Trump to demand Majority Leader Mitch McConnell put a House-passed bill that we just discussed up for vote. And of course, on the campaign trail, Democratic presidential candidates, including Senators Cory Booker, Amy Klobuchar, also Julian Castro, Beto O'Rourke, have been criticizing that glacial pace of gun safety law bills in Congress. Well, we still have the time. Let's bring back in Steve Futterman. He's joining us live from El Paso. Steve, what do you think the reaction will be to President Trump's remarks, especially as likely there have been some folks on the ground calling for more action in response to the massive attack where you are.
Well, I think some of the people here, remember, we're on a border town here, and the issue of immigration, legal, illegal immigration, has been at the forefront since Mr. Trump took over. Many people here, a large number of people here, have been very, very critical of what the president was anticipated to say, based on the fact that they thought he was going to say the right thing. What was, I think people will bring up here, is what he didn't say. He didn't talk about what some of the things he has said in the past that may have inflamed some of the nerves of people who are worried about illegal immigration here. Remember, the gunman wrote this manifesto, or posted this manifesto, which talked about his anger at the increasing Hispanic immigration into the U.S. and Texas. That seems to have been the trigger of all this. And many people here will say that, well, gee, Mr. President, you have inflamed some of the tensions with your language in the past. It will also be interesting to see, if he does come down here this week, what the reaction will be. We've heard some lawmakers say, please stay away. I'm sure it's not everyone here, but there's a significant number of people here who will say, why didn't you say something like this before? Why didn't you say calming words like this before? Attack people who go on the internet and say inflammatory things. I think that will be one of the issues that comes up, at least from people here in El Paso.
Steve Futterman reporting live on the reaction to the immigrant rhetoric coming from President Trump and issues over immigration following this mass shooting in El Paso. Quickly, before we leave, when we talk about gun control laws, a recent March poll after that New Zealand attack found 67% of Americans support U.S. gun laws that make it more difficult to purchase and have access to guns. You've been listening to a CBS News special report for Stephen Portnoy at the White House and Steve Futterman in El Paso. I'm Steve Dorsey in Washington. You can continue to follow our coverage on these two deadly attacks on your local CBS News radio affiliate and online. This is CBS News.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.